Today also, we were searching for a nice, big, sort of bouncy way to kick off afternoons for 2016, and it has fallen in our laps. Because you might remember back in the 1960s, a certain record label by the name of Motown did a very canny thing. Gordy Berry, who was actually the founder of that label, would get all his artists on the label onto a bus and then tour them as an entire soul review around the country. And I reckon our next guests have copied that, maybe not consciously, but it's kind of what's going on, because this tiny independent music label, The Mouse That Roared, it's called Milk Records, is getting its whole stable of artists on tour in the next month. They're releasing a compilation album in 2 weeks' time on Valentine's Day, which is called Good For You. We've got preview copies, and I've decided we're going to do it as a CD feature this week on RN Afternoons, and there's no better way to launch 2016 than to have that CD feature perform live. We're going to talk to some of the artists on the Milk Records label in just a moment. But to kick us off, she's been nominated for a Grammy. She's in the Brit Awards as well. She's won so many arias, it's not funny. She's got a whole band behind her as well from the label. Will you please welcome to play Three Packs a Day her brand new song. This is Courtney Barnett.
One, two, three, four.
I'm down to three packs a day, a meager ring, I can't explain it. Can't wait for you to go away, cause I just crave that meager taste, yeah. Boil it up, water in the saucepan. In a cup, drink it from a silver spoon. That MSG tastes good to me. I disagree with all your warnings. And it can't be true that they use glue to keep the noodles stuck together. Seems like a lifetime. Burn my tongue, patience is a virtue. Packs a day, I sneak away to find a kettle. I withdraw from all my friends and their dinner plans. I'm sick of lentils. Boil it up, water in the saucepan. In a cup, drink it from a silver spoon. It's no good. It's no good. You say it's no good for you.
The entire label represented here in one room. This is a Milk Records label, and we just heard the opening track from their new compilation called Good For You, starring the songwriting and vocals of one Courtney Barnett, Three Packs a Day. Hello. Welcome.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Courtney, you better do the honours and just tell us everybody else who's in the room here.
Yes, all right. On the guitar over here is Marcus from a band called East Brunswick All Girls Choir.
He's a boy.
Yes.
Marcus, he's a boy.
Nice yes. observation.
Yeah, thank you.
we've got Jen Chloe sitting next to me.
She's a girl.
Thank you. She's a lady.
Yep.
Fraser A. Gorman.
Hi.
Playing the harmonica. And then we've got Oliver Mestitz from The Finks.
And I've heard your song, Oliver, from the compile, and I think it's a cracker.
Thanks.
I'm actually planning to put that on Australia Day tomorrow, that song. So that's
there you
what
go.
I tell you.
Thanks very much.
That's all right. That's my pleasure. Courtney, three packs a day, ostensibly, you know, the song title says cigarettes. The actual contents of the lyrics says, well, meagering, mm-hmm. really, isn't it? Noodles.
Yes.
And the way you talk about it in the lyrics, it's like Jen's gone away on a tour and you've got time to indulge in your favourite revolting food.
Mm-hmm.
Is that pretty much it?
Yes, that's one interpretation of it.
Got it.
Yep.
Good, okay. And also, I think, Jen, Chloe, you've actually been instrumental in helping Courtney see the other side of nutrition, because in the album that, of course, has, you know, gone AWOL across the world, Courtney writes in Dead Fox, I think, about how you showed her the pathway to organics.
Yes, I insist that we buy organic vegetables, which I was laughing.
Luckily, the album's done so well.
Exactly.
Because you can now afford them. It's brilliant.
Laughed
just
and
one
mocked.
Carrot a week.
Yeah. Look, you know, you might as well eat food that doesn't have lots of poison in it.
You think?
Yeah, why not?
I think it's a good thing.
You're only
going to
go around once. You might as well eat food that's good for you.
Courtney, can I just ask you, because you were kind of the founder of the label that you're on, how did you learn how to do that?
I kind of just made it up as I went, which I think was part of the fun. I didn't really want to do things everyone else's way, and I just slowly kind of, you know, bought a website, and that's kind of all you need these days to start off with. Like, you know, I was selling CDs from the website and posting them from my house, and why not just call
yourself CourtneyBarnett.com.au? Why go for Milk Records as a way to sell your music?
Because I think it's like a perception kind of thing, you know, people.
If you're signed up, you must be good.
Well, I don't know. I had kind of had more in mind that I had so many friends who were musicians. I lived in Sharehouse and played in a couple of bands, and, you know, there's kind of power in numbers. If we put on a show, we'd put together three of our friend bands and more people would come along because we'd pool all of our friends, and so it was kind of the same. I was going along the same lines.
So while you were carving out a career for yourself as a musician, you were running a label, and were you actually including other artists in that stable for Milk Records at the very beginning?
A little bit further on, as I kind of started to slowly figure out what I was doing. And then when Jen did her last album, In Blood Memory, we put that out on Milk, and then Jen kind of brought the brains to Milk Records, and
Jen's actually nodding in acquisition to that. Yeah, that's true.
It's because I eat so well, so I've got this incredible brain power.
No wonder Courtney loves it when you go away. So, Jen, as someone who's been on the music scene, both solo and with band, for years, and had some amazing success in your own right, what did you bring to the partnership when it comes to running a business like Milk Records?
Yeah, well, I guess it'd just been a few more years of, you know, touring and recording as a self-managed independent artist.
Mm.
So I'd learn a few things along the way, and I'd run some workshops called I Manage My Music, where I got lots of musicians from all around Australia to come in and just talk about their experience of doing things. And so I basically took everything that I'd learned at these workshops, and I used Milk Records as a guinea pig, and it worked, you know. A lot of the stuff that we talked about, like crowdfunding for the first compilation album that we did through Milk Records.
And you did that too for your last album, Blood
Memory,
didn't you?
Yeah. And I guess, you know, things like writing grants and I guess always sort of thinking about how can we keep creating work without going into debt.
And you managed to do that?
We have. Like, I think that's the beauty of Milk Records is we don't have, you know, we don't have a whole lot of resources, but we're really realistic about what we can do and just doing it with what you have, you know, rather than overreaching and finding yourself in, you know, some problematic areas once you start borrowing money from parents and
Or back in the old days.
Yeah.
Okay. Back in the old days too, record labels where you'd have the band, you know, potentially implode and you'd be left with potentially $1 million debt based on advances that you were given to make sure that you got sales commercially through a label that really had given up on you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the beautiful thing about Milk Records is it really it's an old tradition, you know, like independent record labels that are run by artists. Like, it's nothing new. But I think the beautiful thing about today is that it works so well because you have that immediate connection with fans and music lovers through, you know, I guess the internet. Like, it just changed everything for small labels and musicians.
Well, as a case in point, sitting to your right is one of the other artists on Milk Records, Fraser O'Gorman. Fraser, I don't want to even talk to you now.
Okay.
I just don't want to talk to you. But I do want to hear you sing. No, it's nothing you've said okay. So far. But I'd love to hear your songs because your debut full-length album, Slow Gum, is out on Milk Records and you're part of the touring schedule for this compilation as well.
Yep.
Yeah, so let's talk more about that in a moment. What would you like to play for us?
I'm going to play my song off the compilation. It's called Skyscraper Skyline Blues.
Okay, that's a hard name to say.
It is.
Good luck.
Especially when you're a stutter. Anyway. Won't you take your glasses off? It's too hard to see. I don't know a lot, but what I got, I'll give it to you. Can take it all for free. Know you like to come around, listen to records with me. But my turntable's broken, a bit like my brain. I'll get it fixed, just you wait and see. You got a cool haircut, thanks, I did it myself. I just stand by the mirror, watch the locks fall off, and put the scissors back on the highest shelf. Do you have a job? I got one yesterday, washing windows atop a skyscraper, looking down at the people just going about their day. I'm washing windows, 10 floors up, staring at the ground. I'm washing windows, 10 floors up, staring at the ground. I feel like I'm 17 again. When I'm up that high, I wish the world was upside down so I could jump off into the sky. Washing windows, 10 floors up, staring at the ground. I'm washing windows, I'm washing windows, staring at the ground.
Fraser O'Gorman, with the help of everyone else on the label.
Cool.
Fraser, what's the name of that song again?
Skyscraper Skyline Blues.
And where did that hit you as a song to play and write?
Well, I wrote that song basically, it's kind of about a few things, but like the main kind of like story in it, it's just a conversation between a lady and a man. And the man is
has a job, which he washes windows on top of skyscrapers, which is a gnarly job, and not enough people are talking about that, so I thought I'd better be the one to talk about it.
I think if you've got a head for heights, it would be one of the best jobs in the world.
Yeah, and I just found it such a fascinating thing, because it's just like to be so alone and so distant from things.
And yet also so intensely intimate, because every time you go down a floor, you're looking into someone else's life, literally in the office.
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to, I think that sometimes that was like a bit of a metaphor of how I felt about things, being like kind of present but also so distant at sometimes.
Dangling on a wire with a thin pane of glass between you and the world.
Yeah.
I feel like we've just started a psychiatric session. Do you want to lie down?
Yeah, I might just...
So,
Banana Lounge.
How do you know this mob here? Did they approach you or did you approach them and say, please, I love what you do?
I kind of... It's really funny, I guess. I get asked all the time in interviews, like, how did you get signed to Milk Records? How did Courtney find you? Like, and I'm like, it wasn't even...
At the old bar.
Yeah, Courtney and me just became friends, I guess, when I first moved to Melbourne.
Yeah.
And one time I was sitting at the bar at the Northcote Social Club and Courtney was working or finishing her shift, and I had an EP out at the time, and she said, oh, do you want... And I needed to press more, and she said, oh, do you want to put it on...
You mean press more records?
Yeah.
You didn't want to press Courtney more?
No. Yeah, print more.
Okay.
And Courtney was like, oh, do you want to be on Milk? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, cool. And then...
Is that what constitutes, Jen, a business contract in Milk Records?
It's the best kind.
Yeah.
I think verbal agreements are much better. We don't sort of sign anyone. There's no legal binding contract. It's really... I mean, it's exactly that, you know, that idea of just mates working together. And I think, you know, the public perception is that it's this, you know, big label machine kind of idea, but really, no. It's really just a collective.
It's a cottage industry.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a cooperative.
Then I kind of said, what do I need to do to be on it? And Courtney just goes, oh, you've just got to put this logo on the back of your EP.
And that was it.
And that was it. So I was like, and you're in. And I was in.
Courtney, you've got an album that was debut for you, your first full-length album, and, I mean, people around the world envy you but also admire you for living their quintessential rock and roll dream, and that you put out one album on this tiny little label, The Mouse That Roared, as I keep saying, and it gets nominated for a Grammy. Actually, can I start with that? How do you get nominated for a Grammy? How does that happen?
Tell us, Courtney.
I think that... you kind of have to maybe put your name in the hat or something.
Did you do that?
Yeah, I think so. Because I've got a label in America. I don't want to, like, pretend like I'm this magical Milk Records traveling around the world. We've got some really great people overseas working with us and for my album. And, I think you just kind of do that, you know, whatever that's called, pre-nomination, and then...
surely there must be thousands of bands and musicians wanting to do that.
Probably.
And so do you know, did they explain to you the process of how they came to put you in for Best New Artist?
I think that from that point it might be then further nominated by peers and industry people. So, it's kind of confusing. I was like, oh, cool, wow, okay.
Yes, kind of cool, kind of well.
Yeah.
It's great. It's fantastic. And even nomination changes the very scope not only of your career but also Milk Records itself and its profile, I imagine, in places like Europe and North America, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I feel really lucky to be able to do that. And, you know, we took Fraser on tour around a bit of America and a bit of UK last year And when people come to the store and buy my record, they see other people's stuff and they buy that, and it's, you know, it's this big, nice thing.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
When do you know? When do you know when you've won? When the Grammys are on that night?
Yeah.
Is that the only time?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's all you know. yeah. And the Brit Awards?
Yeah, that's also great. That's I don't know when that might be February. Oh, no, I don't know. The Grammys are February yeah. and yeah, I try not to get too, you know, attached to it because I don't want to like drive myself crazy, but yeah, it's really I mean it's great that the other side of the world, people are listening to my songs and saying that's worthy of something.
Well, exactly. And what I was going to ask, maybe, Jen, I'll ask you about this, as someone who's got a sort of eye over the whole label and what's happening with Courtney as well, is that why do you think it is, as a songwriter yourself, that Courtney's songs, which are quintessentially not only Australian but also so Melbourne and, in fact, almost one suburb of Melbourne in some cases, why do you think those songs somehow hit people in the heart and the head on the other side of the world?
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit like Carl Jung, you know, Man and His Symbols, like the idea that we all respond to really similar ideas and themes and that we're a lot more similar than we are different. And I think it's that thing, you know, it's also another great saying that the personal is universal and that the more specific you are, the more people are likely to hear themselves in what you're saying. And just from what I can see, it's I mean, I even see it at live shows. You'll just see people chuckling or singing along to a line that they really relate to in Courtney's songs. And I think it is just those really mundane but beautiful insights into the everyday that, you know, that's I reckon that's it. And also because there are, you know, I think one thing is like the record, but then when you go and see Courtney and Dave and Bones play a live show, like they're a really great three-piece rock band. Like it's exhilarating. So I think you have to have these days that great live presence as well.
Well, my daughters went to see the show at the Palais the other night and it's the first time my 14-year-old's ever been out to that kind of gig before in their life. So I was sort of, I wasn't there. I was outside on the streets roaming like a madman. they said that they heard people around them, someone yelled out, "We love you, Courtney," and someone else yelled out, "No, no, I love you more." So obviously you're really hitting
that
home there.
That was me.
That was you. If you just joined this conversation, we've got pretty much the entire stable of Milk Records, this independent label out of Australia that's doing great things here in the studio performing in various guises and combinations. And Fraser A. Gorman, Jen Chloe and Courtney Barnett are sort of leading the push there. I reckon, Jen, let's ask you, because you brought in a song say, here's what I've been listening to and enjoying. What have you brought in for us?
Well, just to sort of expand the Milk Records theme today.
Are you going to plug another artist from the label?
Well, why not?
Okay, go on then.
We're actually going to put out this EP this year. So it'll be the first release. It's by a band called Loose Tooth, which is a great band name.
it is.
And it's a three-piece from Melbourne. I mean, all of the artists that we work with are from Melbourne, really because we all hang out together and it's just easier, you know.
Like, well, you're all on each other's film clips too. It's so incestuous. It's disgusting.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've seen the film clips.
Good. Yes. Yeah, disgusting. Good. It's disgusting. These guys, yeah, Loose Tooth, they put out their sort of first single last year and they'll be putting out the full release this year through Milk Records. And this song is called Everything Changes.
I don't know how to deal.
We're just playing a little excerpt. You'll have to hear the full song when it's formally released later in the year. That's Loose Tooth with Everything Changes, and that's one of the picks today from Jen Clover. We'll get to Courtney's in a moment. Oliver, I've left you out of this conversation deliberately. Don't think it was because I'm rude. I am, but it wasn't in this case the reason.
Right, I thought it was my lucky day.
We don't have to talk too much. It's okay. Tell us a little bit about the Finks.
What do you want to know?
Oh, it's going well already, Oliver. It's going really well. So how long have you been together?
I guess it's not... It's maybe not as simple as that.
It never is.
No. Well, I guess all the recorded stuff is me, basically. And I just do it at home, and I play all the instruments apart from, like, you know, the odd person playing banjo or fiddle. Mm-hmm. Or I also have Sarah and Maddie do a fair few vocals.
So depending on the gig, I think I could turn up and see the Finks and it could be you and one other person or you and five other people.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works. Me and Sarah have been doing, on the tour, it'll be, Sarah and I, she plays cello, sings, I play mm-hmm. guitar and sing. So that's kind of where it is at the moment.
Well, maybe you should demonstrate what it is you do when you do get out there in public. Would you like to play something for us?
Yeah, sure. This is a song called If You Really Loved Me.
Okay.
There's no weaker wind than a lie from your mouth. There's no sadder sight than a weekend in this house. I'd trade a month of Sundays for 5 dark minutes with you. If you really loved me, if you really loved me, if you really loved me like you say you do, wanderlust, not common sense. Why would I want to live anywhere else? If you really loved me, if you really loved me, loved me like you love yourself. I would have worn some shoes or something, would have washed behind my ears. If you really loved me, loved me, if you really loved me like you haven't in years.
Oliver from the Finks with If You'd Really Love Me. And I think I wrote this down. I might have said this or written it down incorrectly here, Oliver. I'd trade a month of Sundays for 5 dark minutes with you.
That's correct.
Oh, love that line.
Thanks.
It's a beauty. And, in fact, it's a kind of it's a funny song as well as being a really sad song, which is a really difficult thing to write at the same time. So congratulations on that.
Thanks. I find it hard to write anything else.
And in fact, it's not on the Milk Records compile, but it's reminiscent of that song I've heard on that compile in that it's kind of a slow, sad song, but I'd want to hear it on a sunny summer afternoon for some reason.
I mean, it's, I guess the other parallel is, so I don't sing the song on the compilation. I hardly do anything on that song. I mean, I wrote it, but Sam Cooper, a friend of mine, sings it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and okay. Sarah usually sings that one that I just played. So
so we're just lucky to have you, really, in any shape or form here at all. So
this is like the demo version, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, no, I really enjoy writing songs for other people, and I think that helps me to maybe distance myself and think of it as a bit more of a character thing.
Oh, that's really interesting because you're tapping into, of course, an age-old tradition which we turned around only in the last 40 years where people would often have designated jobs as either an interpreter or the writer, and they often and most often weren't the same person.
Yeah, yeah, it's good because I'm pretty shy and I don't have a lot of confidence in my own ability, but I really like, you know, my friends, hearing them singing my songs is just, it's great.
Well, can I say, I think on behalf of all of us, we really enjoyed that.
Thanks.
That was really beautiful. Thank you. If you just joined us here on RN Afternoons, it's a very special day here because it's not every afternoon in any hour that we get pretty much five bands represented in one studio all playing together, but that's the case in point here for Milk Records, who have just about to launch on St. Valentine's Day their compilation album, which is called Good For You. Again, I think maybe influenced by the sort of overarching boss of the label, that's Jen Clower, who's totally into health and nutrition, I think, much to the...
Actually, I think Oliver came up with that.
Oh, really?
Title.
Oh, yeah. The responsibility's off. Great.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm backing off now. Okay. So, but it's lovely, though, because Milk Records is doing, as I mentioned earlier, something that Motown used to do, going on the road. Are they touring?
Yes.
Yeah. So when's that all happening?
Well, we'll have all of the dates up on our Milk Records website on Friday, and tickets are on sale so a week from today, on Monday. And we're going to Adelaide and Castlemaine and then heading up the East Coast all the way to the Gold Coast.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. So it'll be six bands in a school bus on the road for a couple of weeks. I think it's going to be, pretty special.
And in fact, that kind of epitomises the spirit of the making of this compilation too. Didn't you record it all in one day?
We recorded over 3 days.
Oh, so was it? Okay.
Two bands a day, yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, pretty good going.
Yeah, that's great. All right, I look forward to hearing more about the tour when you return. And again, just to plug this, and I don't do this on every album because not every album comes from a tiny label like this, but if you would like to procure a copy, then you can pre-order Good For You from the Milk Records website, and as a result, you get a couple of downloads, including Courtney's song, Three Packs a Day, and also Fraser, your song as well.
Yeah.
So you get a preview here today, which hopefully we can put up online this afternoon, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what should you go out with? What live song would you like to finish with? Anything?
We brought in another song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's by Ouch My Face, which is another band on the label who couldn't be here today because I think they were all working. But we thought we'd share that song because they'll be joining us on the tour bus.
Okay. What kind of band are Ouch My Face?
Jen?
I'd say they're punk.
Yeah.
But this is a little, like, this song's a little bit kind of left of centre for them. It was something a bit different.
Yeah, so we should warn people that it might be of sensitive ears that it's going to be pretty full on?
No. Actually, I think this one's more of a like hip hop kind of number. Which is
really?
Yeah, it's got sort of hip hop undertones. Mm. It's a cool song, but it is about stalking someone.
Oh, charming.
Yeah.
Yeah, delightful. Well, thank you
all. It's a love song.
It's a love song.
Like all good love songs.
Yeah. Well, look, it's a pleasure to have you all in. Thank you so much indeed to Oliver, to Fraser, to Jen, to Courtney and Max.
Marcus,
I was close.
Marcus
was on guitar.
Marcus from East Brunswick All Girls Choir.
Lovely.
Who didn't get a microphone.
No,
sorry,
but played
Marcus.
Some very tasty guitar.
I'm not allowed.
Not allowed to have a mic. Next time he will. But in the meantime, thank you so much for coming in. And let's finish off with a song from Ouch My Face called Courtney.
Creep Heart.
Take it away. We'll be right back.
gonna make